So speaking of straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel, so some guy was on my Facebook today telling me, oh, the King James has all these errors. And when I asked him to actually produce an error, that's the error that he came up with. He said, you know, the King James is wrong when it says strain at a gnat. And I've heard this a bunch of times. I don't know if you guys have heard it, but they say what it actually should say is strain out a gnat. And people always bring this up as like, this is a big error in the King James, strain at versus strain out. But here's what's so dumb about this. Okay. First of all, if you look it up in the Greek New Testament, it doesn't say out or at. It doesn't have either of those. It basically just says they strain the gnat or they strain at the camel. But stop and think about this for a second. Does that even change the meaning at all? Like, whether you're straining at the gnat or straining out the gnat, either way, here's what Christ is saying. There's something really small that you guys don't want to swallow, that you just can't handle some little problem or some little thing that you find anomalous, but yet you're willing to swallow this giant, ridiculous thing that the Pharisees are teaching you. So basically, either way, whether it's strain out a gnat or strain at a gnat, it's like, you don't want to swallow the gnat, but you're willing to swallow the camel. So what in the world is the difference? It's so funny how, you know, the modern version crowd, they always fixate on these nothing burgers, like strain at instead of strain out, these meaningless differences. Meanwhile, the NIV's attacking the virgin birth, attacking the eternal sonship of Christ, attacking the Trinity, attacking salvation, messing up the doctrine of hell. And they're worried about strain at a gnat versus strain out a gnat when I can't even figure out like what the meaning would be different as far as like applying that verse. Like, what different doctrine would you get from those two different expressions?
That's like saying, you know, when it says eat it up, be like, well, you don't want to eat it up. It goes down, you know? Yeah.
Oh, man.
So yeah, that's crazy. I've actually never heard that. You know, I've never heard, but man, that talk about, you know, strain that and that.
They say like, well, strain out the gnat. It's talking about like, you know, there's a little gnat floating in their drink and they like strain it out.
Oh, good.
Like,
nice.
I'm sure that these people 2000 years ago, they have like this little metal mesh strainer.
Right. They're straining out the pool.
They're pouring their drink through a little strainer. And then they're like, you know, versus strain out would be like, you know, you're doing it with your throat. But here's the thing, whether you're straining it out with a little metal strainer or whether you're straining it with your throat, either way, you're like, I don't want to swallow this gnat, but I'm willing to swallow the camel. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus is saying. There's no difference in doctrine. You don't walk away. So basically, yeah, somebody can get up and try to sound smart and say, well, unfortunately, the King James is wrong. It's actually strain out than that. And they could go into some big made up story about, you know, fishing gnats out of the glass. But at the end of the day, there's no difference in the actual meaning of what Jesus is saying. There's no difference in doctrine. It's a total nothing burger. And that's what the new version crowd wants to talk about. James White gets all excited about Revelation 16:5, total nothing burger. Ephesians 3:9. Total nothing burger. Meanwhile, the new versions are taking out Mark 16:9-20. John 7, they're taking out 12 verses. They're taking out John 7:53-8:11. They're taking out 1 John 5:7. They're taking out Acts 8:37. Things that actually affect doctrine, that actually impact the meaning, not just these vain janglings.
It's like the whole Matthew 27:44 thing, right? About casting the same in their teeth. Where it's just like the meaning is there, and that's a great way to explain in English what it means, even though it's not word for word exactly what you see in the Textus Receptus.
Yeah, or God forbid, you know, Mianito.
Yeah.
I think everybody knows what that means now.
Yeah.
Because Pastor Anderson used that as an example. And I think there's a bunch of memes on that.
Yeah, I just saw another example the other day in 2 John. I was reading the Greek New Testament, and he said, I trust to come unto you that we may speak face-to-face, that our joy may be full. And in Greek, it basically said that we may
speak mouth-to-mouth. Yeah.
So that's not a literal word-for-word translation, but, you know, face-to-face sounds better than mouth-to-mouth. and it's the exact same meaning.
Yeah.
And
you know,
go ahead.
And I read through Hebrews, which is one of the harder books in Greek. When I got done with Hebrews, I'm like, thank God that was not like literal, like word for word, because, you know, when I read through that, I was like, and I had Hebrews memorized, you know, and I'm going through this, so I knew what the verses should say in English, and I'm reading through it, and I'm like, this is hard. Whereas you go to John, it's like, it's, you know, a lot of times it'll be word for word, you know, it's just like, just very simple grammar and all that. But man, you don't want it to be like that. You don't want it to be this word for word, everything literal. And then, like you said, you know, idioms, I think you use this, or we've probably all used this, you know, raining cats and dogs. You know, we know what that means. We know that means it's pouring hard, you know, but if you just transliterated that in some other language, it'd be like, what is going on? You know?
Yeah. I remember one time, because my brother, he speaks Spanish fluently, but he would always try to like translate idioms from English into Spanish when he was talking to my mom. And, you know, one time he told my mom in Spanish, he says, "Estás brincando la pistola," which means you're jumping the gun. You know what I mean? You're just jumping the gun. But in Spanish, it just sounds ridiculous. You know what I mean? And my mom's like, "What are you trying to say? I'm jumping a what?" Like, doesn't make any sense. You know, you can't translate like idioms from a different language. And so, or sometimes you have to create an idiom from a different language in order for it to make sense or something, you know?
But a lot of times, people that'll point to that as a mistake in the King James just because they didn't translate it super literal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's just like, that's not a mistake. It's just they put it into our English vernacular,
right?
Because it sounds better, you know, instead of being all wooden.
Yeah. You know what? You hit on this first because I just watched that video where you were in Acts there. But when I read through Acts, Areopagus, you know, and it says Areopagus in one place, they use it Areopagus, but then there's a place where it says Mars Hill and it's Areopagul,
Yeah, because
it's basically Mars Hill and Aries
is Mars.
Right. And they do that same thing with Diana.
Pagos. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Diana is like Artemis or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people could point at that and say, well, you know, they should have just transliterated the Greek, you know, God there, but you're in the Roman Empire when this, you know, when it was written. So obviously, you know, it, you know, the translators took that, the lead there and said, hey, you know, we're going to use the Roman equivalent because it's an equivalent, you know, like when you look up those gods, it's the same God.
Yeah. And it's kind of a
different name.
It's kind of interesting how the King James Bible translators consistently use the Roman names of the gods instead of the Greek names, which the original Greek text uses the Greek names for the gods. Obviously, like if you're reading the New Testament in Greek, it's going to talk about Ares, Zeus, Hermes, and Artemis. Whereas when you read the King James, it talks about Mars, Jupiter, Mercury. It uses all the Roman names. And the only thing I can think of as to why that is, it must just be that in 1611 England, people were probably more familiar with the Roman versions than the Greek versions. So they're probably just making it easy for the people, you know, in 1611 England to understand. You see what I'm saying? Because, like,
yeah,
maybe they're more likely to know who Diana is versus Artemis, and it's the same person.